Welcome to A Course in Miracles.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
5 years, what, did you start at lesson one, or maybe the first page?
Oh, no.
No.
That would be 15 years worth.
About where did you start?
I started recording roughly around chapter,
16, 15. Okay, thank you. Somewhere in there. I know where I can start to catch up to where
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
We have, by the way, Taylor, done a section since I've been here a year and a half.
It's rich material. Deep material. Okay, you know, when we do these meditations, they are an opportunity for you personally to check in with your spiritual advancement, which pretty much changes every single day. Your spiritual awakening on a vector, you will either go every day now deeper into the ego and the illusion, or you will take on some light, and you will literally become a little more enlightened every day. There is no neutral. It's one way or the other. There is no neutral, as we learn as one of the particular lessons in the Course in Miracles. So, well, that means that every thought you have is a commitment. If what I say is true, it's either up or down. And there's no neutral. Therefore, you're going up or you're going down with each thought. So every thought is a commitment. And now I want to say that just a little stronger. Even a little more maybe serious. Of what's really going on, a little hint to what's really going on. Every thought you have is a prayer. That's how they work. That's what thoughts are. That's what thoughts are because of what you are. Isn't it true that if indeed you are an extension of God, whatever you think God is, it doesn't really matter. Let's just say God's the truth. God's the source. If you are an extension of God, and as the book says, God loves you with everything he's got. In fact, God's given you everything. All power. Your mind is that important. Your mind is that amazing, connected to source. It is true. Every thought you have is using that power. And therefore, you will get what you think. Get what you think? Isn't that what drives clients to the psychologist?
Yeah.
They've been getting what they've been thinking, and it's not working out so good. Isn't that what drives people to write beautiful poetry? They can get what they think, and they can put it on paper. Or a great musician, a great artist, they can actually manifest what they're thinking. Oh my God. It's like a prayer. They're using that power, no less than you. You get what you think. But only every time. So that's the bad news, and then it's the good news. It depends on where you're thinking from. There's no neutral. So let that simplify it a bit. Where you're thinking from, without even defining that, since there's no neutral, there's not a lot of options. So I just want to ask you, it's a big group, so I'm going to try to make it a very simple meditation. Right. But this is a really good personal check-in for you. It's always good to be super honest with yourself when we do these meditations. It's a way to look right at yourself. It's just for today. It'll change next week. But let's go see right now. Let's see what you got going on right now this week. What's real for you now when I ask this question? It's really simple. The question is, do you want to be happy? Simple enough, right? Do you want to be happy? Check it out. And I just finished telling you that every thought you have is a commitment. Watch what happens. Do you want to be happy? Honestly now, just arrive at the right answer. Honestly. And now, please take a moment to look into your recent life and pick one thing that you did that you had to actually go do, or something you had to organize to do, that made you personally happy. Something that, for you, something that made you happy. Just pick an item, pick something. Might be quite worldly. You committed to something recently. In this world, time, and space, to make yourself happy. Just pick something. One of the things I like doing with Course in Miracles and this group is to make this 1,300-page book practical. Can we apply it today? How can I connect it to my personal life? Let's see how this works out. Because the section we're in is it's about committing to your own awakening. And you know, the Course in Miracles, we're awakening with ourself, to ourself, for ourself, and because of our true self. I mean, wow, it seems so selfish. Wow. And yet, there's a key to enlightenment here. So let's just see what kind of commitment some of us did to be kind to ourselves. To be happy. So Lisa, what have you done recently to make yourself happy? Something you did.
I committed to a program. I'm big into self-directed learning.
Uh-huh.
And I do, I'm a member of Mind Valley Academy, which is an online enlightenment school.
Okay.
Conscious engineering, and uh-huh. they have a yoga platform and multiple facets.
Uh-huh.
And I recently, for myself, joined this class called Super Brain Quest.
Okay.
Because it's supposed to help train your brain to do memory, so you remember things.
All right.
And so it's a two-part program. But
mm-hmm.
One of it you have to commit for 30 consecutive days.
30 consecutive days?
Well, you do it every day.
Yeah. So you joined a program where you'll have to commit for 30 consecutive days. And how much time per day do you think you expect you might have to spend?
Well, see, see, I put it off, I bought it, put it off because I didn't have the right timing.
Aha.
And so I actually just started like 4 days ago, so today is day five.
Okay.
And I haven't done day five yet.
How much did you do yesterday?
Well, I was so exhausted yesterday.
Okay, day before.
But I did it.
But
what was so cool was when I logged in, they're like, this is your day off day.
Oh.
So if you haven't, if you missed something,
15 minutes? You can expect 15 minutes.
15 or less.
Good. David, what's something that you did just to make yourself happy? A gift you gave yourself, something you did?
I helped with her.
He just made a miracle in my house.
Okay, you went out of your life into her
with her landlord and made a deal and helped her landlord solve the problem with the toilet. They're gonna
I mean, I was about to put a restraining order on her in her own house. A miracle happened today.
So you managed to keep her living.
So it's kind of cool. It's like, you know, all of a sudden all these issues that were over here, the landlord's having, all the issues she was having, they're kind of like, this is done, they're gone.
You
know? I'm looking at it because of what I learned. I look at it, that there's no past or future. Fix that. Everything else is gone.
You went and fixed somebody else's toilet. and this brought
you back.
I get it. Yeah. But it helped. It helped.
Same thing.
I mean, I was going to say that too, but I didn't know if he was. I was going to let him say
it. Nice. Happiness came from this.
Yeah.
You moved this a lot.
Yeah, it was a happy situation.
It was obvious that the block toilet was a block to happiness, and you blocked it.
You even made my landlord so happy.
She was really cool.
Man, it's a good thing to do.
She was all excited.
This is a good commitment. It's a good thing to do.
She told me, oh, this horrible landlord, you know, I'm doing this. I go, all of a sudden, there's no more horrible landlord.
Because you could. She couldn't. Landlord couldn't. They can't do that. But you could see it.
But it was like me, landlord, Lisa, all together.
Yep. You removed this block.
Everybody got together.
I like it. Good. Jeff, what's something you did for yourself? Make yourself happy.
I rode the exercise bike for 25 minutes.
That's a commitment.
Sweating.
25 minutes sweating.
To the oldies.
Sweating. Actually, did you sweat? Honestly.
Heavily.
Actually sweat. How many people drive your car? You have their approval.
I witnessed it.
You witnessed it.
It was more like talking.
Yeah,
that's okay.
But that's a commitment.
Felt great
for your happiness, and it felt great.
Well, all of the above.
The first 2-3 minutes, or only when it was done.
The whole thing.
The whole thing felt great.
Yeah, I looked forward to it. I got there, I did it. We squeezed it down. I'm like, we gotta go.
Sweating in 22 minutes. A lot of times when I start exercising, I don't feel so good. I want to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm committed.
Uh-huh.
But like the first 5 or 6 minutes is, oh, God.
Yeah.
I put the music in.
I
just set it to rock out. Mm-hmm. Like build up. Got Anderson Cooper on.
So you made a really good environment. You made a good environment for your commitment.
Yeah.
With the music, your Anderson Cooper.
Rig the game. I call it rigging
the
game.
Rig the game. I like that phrase. You rigged the game right through it.
Okay, I really want to listen to the music, but I won't just sit and do it, but I'll do it on the machine.
Yes, good.
So
good.
Nice.
Felt
good.
Yeah. Patricia, what have you done recently to make yourself happy?
So, to make this short, because of Jeff, I have finally taken the step to agree to start regular discussions with my children or teenagers to start to take some financial responsibility. And even though that sounds like an easy thing to do, but the talk that we had
In fact,
yesterday I exercised it by saying, now that you're taking some financial responsibility, your cell phones are costing a lot of money, and you have a choice. You can either pay this a month or buy it outright, and they both plop down $265 and pay for their phone. And I was like, what?
I heard you send the money.
Well, they bought their phones.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, this is kind of a long-term thing, commitment that's needs to keep
How old are these
going
kids?
On. 17 and 19.
Okay.
Yeah. So that felt good. I felt like that was a gift for myself because it was a lot of stress.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of financial.
It was stress.
Carrying their stuff.
Yes, stress carrying their stuff. And then for you to go relieve that stress by talking to them and giving them essentially an ultimatum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it wasn't so much like a negative ultimatum. I don't even know if I would use that word. It was more of a, I think we even prefaced it by saying, this conversation is not to punish you.
Yes.
It's to start the process of you moving into an adult.
Okay,
adulthood.
So you care, keyword, carefully did this.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Careful communication. Wow, brought happiness. Tell me something you did to make yourself happy.
I took my dog to a lake and swam all day. There's a lot of things actually came to mind.
It took you. That's nice to hear.
I know.
So good, you pick one. You took your dog.
Pick one, yeah. I've been swimming all day in a lake. That's like the best.
Dogs love to swim.
Yeah, that's just the best.
It's like watching love swim. Happy, happy, happy. Happiness makes happy.
Yeah. Swam,
what a great choice. What a great, joyful choice. Mm-hmm. Yes. Sharon, what did you do to make yourself happy recently?
So I'm getting over an injury, surgery actually. So I've recommitted to get on the evil roller.
Uh-huh.
So it's actually helping. It's helping, but it's a commitment. But it does work, and so it's a happy outcome.
Because of the outcome, it's happy.
Yeah, it actually is working.
A bit uncomfortable during
a little bit, but yeah,
the rolling.
Yeah,
yeah. You might even face it a little bit of ugliness going on.
Yeah, I say some things.
But
it really is helping a great deal. So,
but it's working.
Yeah, the outcome is paramount. Yes. So
it's worth it, and you shall do it.
Yes.
So actually, the happiness begins even through the ugliness of the roller on the muscle hitting the bone every once in a while. Ow! The happiness begins.
I know it's working,
and you know it's working.
I know it's working.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Good job. Bridget, what have you been doing? Make yourself happy.
Well, the commitment to go to horse camping for the weekend. And they had a class you could enter into obstacles on the horse. And I thought cool. It was kind of a take off obstacles to beat.
Yeah.
How funny. And so it was to get there and be relaxed and trailer the horse and get camp set up by myself. Ken stayed home and watched the home front. And so it was an experience. It was fun, rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
We got second place.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Three riders. No.
Hey, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
No, there's 20 riders. Okay. And I was so proud of him. He did well. So it was an adventure to do all that, and it was
organize all that, the trailer, the horse, not forget anything. sign up ahead of time. Yeah, dragging your loved one in the trailer.
Yeah.
Good outcome. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, we got back home safe.
Yes. So, Cecily, what's something you did make yourself happy?
So I just recently went to Utah, and I go for work, and I really love getting away from my kids and my house, getting a break from my life. So I really enjoy my business trips, and I stayed an extra, staying in a hotel by myself, and I made it so that I could spend 2 nights at a hotel instead of one, and I just took advantage of having all this space.
Nice. So you gave yourself space of a whole day.
Yeah.
Another night. Wow.
Yeah.
Away from all your obligations and everything. Mm-hmm. All sorts of stuff could have gone wrong at home, because plenty of stuff does. But this is for you.
Yeah.
And you received that day. You took that day for yourself. Ah. Oh, that feels good. Quiet. Spacious. Yeah. Beautiful. Julie, what's something you've done to make yourself happy?
I just have two thoughts in my mind, so I'll go with the first one. I gave up sugar 8 weeks and, 2 months and 1 week ago.
Hey!
Cold turkey.
Are you safe to be around?
I am now. The first 2 weeks I had some mood swings of sorts.
Wow, the legal drug. Wow, big commitment.
How do you give up sugar? It's like impossible.
It's
in everything.
So I'm trying to do no added sugar, so it's actually it is giving up a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
yeah.
Feels good.
Yep. Long term benefit. Overall, you're already convinced. Somewhere you're reading the literature, or some friends or family, or some doctor, or something somewhere planted the idea in you that giving up sugar would make you happier. Even though sugar seems to make you happy, eating it. But somehow, some way, the idea came in that if you made this commitment, you would have a higher or more worthwhile or more sustainable happiness than the short-term happiness of sugar. Mm-hmm. That it's worth it. Mm-hmm. And this, through hardship, you gave yourself this gift. It's a way of saying, I love me. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Nobody else can do this. Nobody else can do this. Mm-hmm. Nobody else can do this.
Yeah.
Nobody else can do any of these things. Mm-hmm. Carol, what's something you did to make yourself happy?
Well, I made a real commitment to get outdoors and out into nature just to start saturating myself. I used to spend so much time that way, and I had a wonderful experience recently, or actually two, with a friend out in a boat in a lake in this pristine, gorgeous place. And it was absolutely the greatest high.
Yeah. Wow.
And matter of fact, I had planned to take my 12-year-old grandson this morning to the same lake and go out, and he was going to be able to fish.
Yeah.
But it turned out he was sick this morning.
So it was so happy. It was such a good experience. Now you want to give it away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You certainly had the benefit of going out on that lake, going through some arrangements and who knows what you did to actually get out there onto the water, received the happiness. It's with you forever. You shared it with us.
Yeah.
And now you want to share it with somebody else. It was so good. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Let's talk about something you did to make yourself happy.
Okay. So my car has the warning signals.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the past week, I've seen flashes of filter, oil change, and check your engine soon.
Mm-hmm.
A week later, yesterday, I finally took it to the mechanic.
Aha.
And I was elated.
Yes. Aha.
Really elated.
Is everything was okay?
Well, you need it work.
Yeah, but they fixed it before it broke down.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. You took care of it. It's taken care of. Bad things could happen. Expensive things could happen. Breakdowns, inconveniences can happen. Warranties can be destroyed because the light was on and they know the light was on and you were still driving. They can tell that with the computers.
Yeah, you know, and every time I get in that car,
FYI.
Only the black box ones at home.
And you took care of it, and it's done. And nothing bad has happened. In fact, things are good. We're back with the lights out. I thought she was going to say, the lights were on the dashboard, and she bought some black tape and put it on each.
That's magic. No, I use cards.
Yeah, I use cards. Stuffed animals over.
I thought you were going to the check engine plug would be like, oh, it went off. There's nothing wrong.
Good. Preemptive. Answered it. Problem solved before it cost.
I think it's the everyday stuff that we have to deal with.
Yes.
And in my mind, it's always like, oh, it's so petty. Yeah, sure, I'll take it to the mechanic.
Yeah.
But there's so many things in my life that are everyday things that needs to be taken care of, and I ignore it, and sometimes they turn out to be an emergency where my life gets on hold
Yes.
for this petty little thing.
I love that you said that it was everyday emergency, as if these everyday things are easy to do, you should just do them. And then the big ones that aren't everyday that you can put off, those are the ones that are harder to do. Isn't that interesting? Course in Miracles sort of makes the comment, says, as you start to get your enlightenment game going on, you start, if peace starts entering your life, you start finding how much control your mind has over your own happiness. Wow, things change. I mean, all sorts of little nasty problems are no longer a problem because now you realize you're in control. And you, it's much healthier, cleaner mind. Except for the little things. The little things that the ego can still grab and say, no, she shouldn't have said that. He should never do that. Oh, that shouldn't happen. What did that person? It's funny how the little thing, the big things you got, Your Course in Miracles in tow, and you got it handled, you got power. But the funny thing is, you won't apply that power to the little things. They sneak up faster than you had a chance to squash them. Big things come slower. They kind of advertise themselves usually. And so you prepare, you take your lesson, you say, oh, okay, the dog's getting old, and the vet says, I may only have... Okay, 163, I got it. There's no death, Son of God is free. And my dog is just Son of God. I'm okay, I can handle this. It's true. The ego will continue to pull at you whatever it can. Yeah, the everyday things, I love it. Thank you, Miss Uncle. Kimmy, what's something you did to make yourself happy?
So, I'm a happy guy.
Okay.
Real.
Hey.
So, I've noticed that if you go to certain coffee shops, there's old timers sitting around chatting.
Yeah.
So I went to the Buttery yesterday, and I met two guys there, probably in the 80s or 90s.
Okay.
And Italian.
Okay.
They lived here. Grandparents lived here.
Oh.
So they tell me old stories. So I say, you know Leo? And they go, oh, yeah. He's like, he's my next door neighbor. So they tell me a couple more stories. So I was over at our rental today, and Leo's in the garage. So he's got a circle driveway, so I circled in. I never did that before, and after 30 years of circling, I just, come on in, you know, and I say, hey, do you remember so-and-so? He goes, oh, yeah. Let me tell you a story. Yeah. It was so fun to hear him. We lived the story.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, it was just so fun to hear.
Wow.
He was a bartender.
Yeah.
So after bartending, they would go to another bar to hang out.
Oh.
And so one of his buddies played music.
Mm.
So he's telling me this story about these other guys that I met.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, so it's like, yeah. I look for happy things to happen to me.
Yes, nice.
That's great.
Sometimes it takes a while.
Okay.
But yeah.
But you soak it in. You soaked in those stories. You took that happiness, and it has enriched your life and knowing about your own neighbor.
Yeah.
Your own environment.
Yeah.
How rich is that? Beautiful. What a gift. Yeah. Luann, what's something you've done for yourself to make yourself happy?
Well, about 2 weeks ago, over a period of about a week and a half, I got from lesson 181 that says, I trust my brothers who are one with me.
Uh-huh.
And then I also got to, I want the peace of God.
Yeah.
And one day I decided that I was going to act as if those brothers were one with me.
Uh-huh.
And that meant I was going to smile and nod or say something like some kind of a lovely greeting. And when I went out shopping and everything, everybody I ran into, I did that.
Uh-huh.
And that memory brought me so much happiness and peace that even just remembering it makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done it this morning. I took my dog for a walk early, and there were guys working on the street and everywhere, and I did the same thing. So I came home feeling really happy.
Yes.
And I was happy all day with my clients.
Yes, beautiful. Wow.
Act as if I am one with my brothers, and it brings me peace.
And then you'll smile when you see them.
Mm-hmm.
You'll allow your communication, your body to communicate happiness. Mm-hmm. You will command it to communicate happiness.
And every single person smiled back or said something about their day that was good and whatever.
You gave and you received and repeated. Mm-hmm. And the formula worked. Happiness came and you filled your whole day with it.
Yep. And that's nice. The only thing I remember about those days or today.
Ah, very interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. What you can keep from those days is pretty sweet.
Pretty precious.
Yes. Interactions of love, mm-hmm. acceptance, happiness. Yeah.
That's what I did for myself. I decided I was gonna be a happy, loving person with everybody, and it worked. I felt like every single one of those people were friends.
Beautiful. Those are, well, you can forget any particular words you said, but the feeling will last as a representation of this choice and the happiness that's there. Beautiful. Thank you. Mary, what's something you've done for yourself to make you happy?
Well, I did a huge thing. I bought myself an annual pass on a whale watching boat.
Oh.
I can go out on this boat anytime.
Mm-hmm.
And we were out, and we went out 4 or 5 miles, and there were just whales and whales. Wow. And whales sticking their flukes up in the air, and whales getting breath of air. It was just completely mythical, wonderful kind of thing. I mean, and it was such a gift to myself that... Like my demons said, yeah, you're not going to have all this fun, and started making me feel, not good.
Yeah.
I'm not sleeping right.
Uh-huh.
That's my favorite. That's how I torture myself.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So you gave yourself the gift. It worked. You went out there and saw the beautiful whales. You had a wonderful commune with nature, and then you took the gift back a little bit, sounds like.
Well, it's like there's this thing that jumps up and says you're not supposed to have all this wonderful stuff.
Uh-huh. And yet, okay, but you know about this gift. And it's an annual pass, so guess what? That's waiting for you to go use again, you guilty, guilty girl. Guilty, guilty, sleepless, insomniac, you.
I have noticed this before, that over about the last 30 years, as I move more toward doing happy things, and it's kind of like, and then I move a little higher, and then I have to work through that piece. But this was a big leap.
That's a big leap, dude, the commitment.
It expanded my life from the beach 5 miles
out. 5 miles out! That's big.
Where the whales live.
Yes. Commitment. Part of you said, the hell with not being worthy of this, or it's too much money, or whatever. The hell with that. I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to take Mary, and I'm going to buy her not one pass, an annual pass. That's how much I love me. That's saying I love me. That's what you did. I love me. And I don't want to be limited on how many times I see those whales. I'm going to see them as much as I possibly can. Pass. Julie says, you know what? Less sugar is going to be healthier, happier girl. I love me. This is exactly what I would do. Wow. Masako says, really a broken car on the side of the road? I love me too much. I couldn't fix it today. And she did. It's good. It's good. Taylor, what have you done recently to make yourself happy?
The other day I just decided to just go to the gym and not work out. But just go and sit in the sauna in the hot tub and kind of just go back and forth and just relax and get my thoughts together and, keep my phone in the locker and just have about an hour of that to myself and just, relaxing and talking to God and just feeling good and happy.
Still chill hour.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Completely irresponsible.
Yeah.
Phone locked up.
Yeah.
to hell with it. I'm going to love me for an hour and just go hang out. You hear Jeff up there, the bicycle pounding away? That's for somebody else to work on and make themselves that. No.
And then in the tub. Trust me.
Made a big space. Nice, like Cecily. Says, you know what? I'm going to do this for me. I love me. I'm going to go give myself this space. Brittany, what's something you've done to make yourself happy?
So a week ago, I planted a garden at my house.
Wow.
And I'm super excited. So I've been going out there every morning and, like, just looking at everything and seeing everything start to grow.
Whoa.
That's cool. And, like, watering everything.
Wow.
And I haven't had a garden in probably, like, 8 years.
Wow.
And it feels really good.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Commitment. Life is happening.
Yeah.
Because of you. You gave and it's giving back now. It's actually growing. Wow, a key. A key to the gift that was, the seeds were waiting for your entire life to be planted. And to now you've planted some right in front of your, right in front of your nose to enjoy. Who knows what they're going to look like next week? Forget tomorrow. How about a week from now? Wow! Let's go check today and see if they're on their way. Beautiful. Thank you. That's wonderful. What a gift. Thomas, mm-hmm. Something you've done to make yourself happy recently?
I chose to be happy when I woke up this morning.
Yeah.
I chose to live life.
Yeah.
Instead of fear-based, I chose to live it love-based.
Ah.
Through every single situation that I come across.
Yeah.
No matter what it is.
Ah.
And today was to love myself. I've also been doing a water fast for, I've lost like 26 pounds in the past month.
Ah.
And giving up the sugar and all the junk and the coffee drinks and all that. And so I can feel better about myself. And I do. I feel so much better. I don't have pain anymore. My knees don't hurt.
Ah.
So, yeah.
Wow.
I'm happy every day. No matter what. Any day I'm sober, I'm happy.
Yeah.
This is the honest truth.
That's a whole list of things where all of them had included, and to me, the big lesson underneath each one of those things that you just described and the other ones that went before them that you've shared with us is you know intimately and permanently how powerful is your mind over your life. How is it going to be today? I choose. And you get.
Mm-hmm. I manifest everything.
This is what it takes to become a creator. To return to your true essence of being a creator instead of a victim in a body in the world, this passage has to occur. Because in being just being in bodies in the world, oh man, there's gravity and there's weight and there's sugar and there's tiredness and there's taxes and all these things that make us feel like victims, that things are bigger and more powerful than we are. But there's a passage that Dawn's describing, which, you know what? I'm going to change this. I'm going to water fast. I don't even know what that is.
It's awesome.
Wow, okay. I better say everything else, though. And you're making choices against the tide and then reaping the benefit. But to me, the biggest benefit you're reaping is the power of your mind, which is what this requires. Course in Miracles requires, and then it, as you give some of your power of your mind to these lessons, it gives back the reward of how much power you have and the effect it has on you. Yes.
So I have a question, because I've been listening to your comments as we've gone around the circle, and it sounds like you're saying that, you know, effort and, you know, exertion mm-hmm. is required
mm-hmm.
for happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, seems like not a spiritual type principle.
That's great. I love it. Thank you. Yeah, that's horrible. Can't we just be as we are and then accept the love that is everywhere all the time? Hey, let's peace in and then peace out. Yeah, can we om? Should we just do a big om mm-hmm. and then receive the present goodness forever? Isn't that spiritual? Can we just find the love that's here now and then live it? Why do we need a book? Why do we need a meeting?
By Wednesday of next week, you wish it was Thursday.
Tomorrow, I wish it was Thursday.
Why is it? Why, if we can't... Spirituality is such an easy choice that there's nothing to do, then... Oh, it would already be here. You would already have perfect happiness. You wouldn't need to take an extra day. Being with your children would be the most joy you could have.
We said that our thoughts are to be prayer, so if we're constant in communion with God and praying in our head, then every action we do with intention of prayer to God, so it's a service to God, and then we would be happy.
You put a bunch of God in there. All I said is it's a prayer. Which does mean that.
Source, whatever.
Oh, it means that. But you know, Course in Miracles is ultra practical. And Course in Miracles is really about the blocks to love. Mm-hmm. You don't have to seek and find love. It says on page 338 beautifully, and many other places. It says, love, you don't go find love. You don't create love. It is. It is all the time.
Undoing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Undoing of the blocks.
We're undoing the blocks that we willfully hold in place and we don't even know we're doing it. Of course, says we need a happy learner. He says, you, this is a quote, you who are steadfastly devoted to misery, comma, must first know that you're miserable.
Right. Yeah.
We keep thinking if we try harder, we'll get there, we'll get there, we'll get there. But you know what? We're trying harder going down a staircase that goes darker and colder as we go. You have to get wealthier, you have to get healthier, and you have to get wiser before you can get happier, says the world. Just keep trying, you'll get there. Oh my God, Course says, oh, you poor, miserable. Down the staircase you go. He says, whoa, 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 whoa. Can we stop for a minute and rethink this whole thing, says A Course in Miracles? Because the status quo is victimhood, it's ego. And the section of Course says, I need do nothing. It's sort of a clever trap. Because you'd love to say, oh, finally, Jesus is going to talk about everything is perfect just as it is. He said, because I need do nothing.
Unless you say that. Doing nothing, things get done.
How many people said this in the spiritual world? It's just, hey, why don't we just be still and meditate? With no thoughts at all. Just zero thoughts. And that's perfect. That'll make you perfectly happy. You're, wow. You see?
Things don't work that way.
They don't work that way.
Our brains don't work.
Our brains tend to think a lot of things, whether you want them to or not. So A Course in Miracles says, this is a course in mind training. Because your mind is very busy making your life miserable. even as it tries to make it happy, it has these horrible habits of listening to what your mother said, or your brother said, or your ex said, or whatever. And it tends, you overthink things. You over-worry about things. So you tend to make your own life unhappy. Nobody's doing it! Even Dorothy! She can't reach out of the grave anymore and make your life miserable. But you can still hear Dorothy. You can still practice what she said. But that would be you. Yes, Luann.
So when you said prayer is in every thought, what I got from that was when I'm thinking something that isn't based on love,
yes,
that's what I'm praying for.
Amen, sister. It goes both ways. Because of what you are and what your mind is. Your mind is an extension of the one mind. And you're very busy using it to fashion things with lots of shadows and darkness. And some light. But you tend to frame it, put it in a frame of darkness. This is a habit of being one, of, as it calls us, you the separated ones, the Course calls us.
You have to kill the ants. automatic negative thoughts.
A-N-T. Nice. Okay, so we're busy. That's why I love Course in Miracles, because you know what? It's love is interspersed, interwoven. Beautiful thoughts, the most beautiful words I've ever seen. Tears come from down my eyes reading some passages in this book. Oh, thank God. Mm-hmm. And then all the rest of them are pointing at the problem. Yeah. So you know what? If you're not happy all the time, and it says that, exquisitely happy all the time. You don't want to be. You don't want to be. It says if you knew what you were in truth, then you would know that happiness is one thought away. Just like you just chose happiness and you got it. You chose to go out and see the freaking whales with permission all year and you got it. You chose to live today and say, I'm going for it. And I'm cutting back on water.
She's really adding water.
You're on a water diet?
Just water.
Oh, you only drink the water.
Yeah.
Oh. Makes so much more sense. I'd lose weight too if I didn't drink water. What's so special about
but
that?
But you might die.
A lot of willpower. A lot of willpower. Yeah.
I can't believe I did it. Day 3.
Wow.
I did it when I got to the third day. I was like, I'm just going to do 3. And then I got to day 3 and I felt so good on day 3. Yeah. I wasn't hungry anymore.
Yes.
Like 7 days.
I've done this. It's amazing.
It was awesome.
So you're on day 3.
My skin's awesome. I'm on day, I did 5 days again. Now I'm today's eating day, where I eat yams and all healthy. Like I go to Dharma's and get vegan stuff.
Okay, great. Yes. I went 7 days, and I think it was around, I got great on day 3. I thought, man, who needs food?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm so light, I'm sleeping great, and I've got time in my life, and I don't have to go to the refrigerator. Wow, this is great.
I save so much money because I'm living out of my car.
And money? It's cheaper. Yes. By day 5, my thoughts were a little scary, and by day 6, I was tripping on stairs and things.
Uh-oh.
And by day 7, I was like, "Oh, that's the end of this." But it was still—it was wonderful because it's a reset.
It feels like
I'm so empowered. You know what? Mm-hmm. If lunch isn't available, I'm okay now. Mm-hmm. If lunch and dinner aren't available, it's too inconvenient. I'm no problem. I know I can go 7 days. In fact, I'll be really happy just after missing a couple of meals when I'm not so happy. I will get happier and happier. Yeah, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. So much empowerment. How powerful is your mind? How free are you for that? For having done that? How free are you all for having made these choices and discovering that it's in your hands? With your own abilities. Don't need anybody else. You can do these things all the time. Okay, now. Some work. Turn to, but for me, I bought at Costco, ridiculous. Who would ever do this? But I found myself holding it, and then even as it's chocolate hummus.
Chocolate hummus?
Who would do that? And the Costco guy was stocking something else more healthy, and he's shaking his head going, what are they going to put in hummus next? I said, what are they going to put in hummus next? I got to hit it and put it in my bag. It was terrible.
It was terrible.
What an abuse of hummus, I said to him. And I grab one right away. And then a woman comes up behind me and she grabs it, shaking her head. And I said, excuse me, what are you going to do with that? And she said with her chocolate eyes, you know, wide open, she says, I don't know. I said, I don't know either. But I'm taking it home today. It didn't make it home. It made it to the parking lot.
Oh, was it good? Diamond.
Don't you have to try chocolate? No. You tried it?
No, I haven't tried it yet, but I really want to try it. And sorry, just to comment on what she said, you can try it with they have cinnamon pita chips. And they're
they do.
Pita chips.
I didn't know about that. Can we just stop the meeting right here so I can go and get my cinnamon pita chips?
That's sugar.
Look, I have
sugar.
Is there sugar in that? So I think hummus, there's, you don't know sugar. It's chickpeas.
No, it's the pita chips with the pita cinnamon chips. Sugar.
I bet you hummus.
No, not for Julie.
Well, I discovered maybe without sugar.
I discovered the parking lot.
What about in the spoon?
You don't need pita chips. All you need is your spoon or your finger. And you can empty that thing in the parking lot.
Oh my god, that good?
So good! It was really good. Imagine mousse,
like chocolate pudding,
or mousse, a little thicker than pudding. You don't have to refrigerate that way. You know, have a freezer. Oh man! So
I thought you had. Scoop with your finger and threw it out.
That's, well,
I would have put it in my refrigerator until it rotted, and then I would have thrown it away.
No, it tastes too good. You can't do it.
Chocolate.
Wow. Hey, $6. Have you not all tried it? It's wonderful. It's just, it's wonderful. It's perfect finish to end with. Oh, yeah. You're going to see me at the bar? I'll bring one. If they're not out of stock at Costco.
What's the date
of the call? 21st of July.
21st.
Sunday, 21st. You should have all got an email by now. If you're on my email list, for sure you should have got it. And you're welcome to come too.
Sliced apples.
Oh yeah, not bad.
Healthy choice, Julie.
Yeah. Okay. No, healthy choice.
Has sugar for sure.
Yeah,
no,
it does.
Did it?
Yeah,
chocolate.
It's in there.
Chocolate.
Yeah, right after the chickpeas,
the chocolate.
It's got four types of sugar.
Oh, nice. Make your own.
Yeah. Okay.
Without
now,
sugar,
turn to page 432. Page 432 in the text. This is a section that's in the chapter called The Vision of Holiness. And it's entering the ark. It's what we're doing. And it's paragraph 2. You there, Lisa?
Yeah.
Want to read for us paragraph 2?
Sure. Okay. Sin has no place in heaven, where its results are alien and can no more enter than... I'm sorry, let me start that over again. Sin has no place in heaven, where its results are alien and can no more enter than can their source. And therein lies your need to see your brother sinless. In him...
Okay, now, I got to stop here because we're running a little short on time tonight. And so I'm going to kind of interject as you go along.
Sure.
So sin means separation. Keep that in mind here. Get your Catholic training in and put that aside, okay? When A Course in Miracles says sin, it means the belief in separation. Either you are separate from everything else, or there can be something else that's not God, not one. The true opposite of sin is oneness. Keep that in mind as you read this.
You think of the word, too, sans.
Yep.
Without.
Yep. All right, so now as she reads this, separation is no place in heaven, where separation's results are alien and can no more enter heaven. What, the awareness of oneness is heaven? Then can their source? Their source of sinness would be the ego, would be the thought system of separation, where separation is true. And therein lies your need to see your brother without separation. Okay, please continue. Thank you.
In him is heaven. See sin in him instead, and heaven is lost to you. But see him as he is, and what it is... I'm sorry. See in him instead, and heaven is lost to you. But see him as he is... And what is yours shines from him to you.
Okay, hop there. Okay,
mirror.
So in him, in your brother, who otherwise looks separate, and you could prove that he's different from you by the terrible things he says and does usually, that does it. Okay. In him is heaven. Hard one. But when you understand that this book is pointing to the absolute, and then when something like that sentence, you choke on a little hard to say, no, heaven is not in that SOB that I'm trying to forget. Trying to forgive. Oh, that's even nicer. You got a chance, lady. You got a chance. Go. Stay strong. It's absolute, see? And so you would take something like this and you'd have to slow down your reading. When you see a short little sentence like that, it means, you got to pay attention here, because what we're talking about is a healing of your mind around all this angst. Any block to the awareness of love is a complete block to the awareness of love. That's all you want. But this is a real block. So you can feel it come over you. So I had everybody pick something that made them happy to demonstrate to yourself that you can do these things. And you will do these things when they become important enough to you. If you think you can, you will. This is going to make something very important to you. It's a little harder to do than taking the car in to Jiffy Lube, but still, it's the same movement of mind. It's the same commitment to say, I'm going to stop sugar. I'm going to fast and drink water only. I'm going to pack it up and go horse camping with all the organization. I'm going to do that. Here's a date. I'm going. It's the same use of mind. It's the same power. Taking the dog out and putting everything else aside and watching that thing swim under grace. That's the same power you would need to have thoughts in your mind, to reach out, embrace this paragraph, embrace this short sentence about understanding that oneness is in even your brother, even the assholey one you're trying to forgive so hard. How can that be? That's the question that should be burning in your mind. It's all answers are all here. They're in this room, they're in this book, they're in your heart. The problem is your mind is in front of your heart. Okay, let's continue.
But see him as he is, and what is yours shines from him to you.
Oh, wow, did you see the circle? Do you see the circle right there in that sentence yet again? But see him as he is, and what is yours shines from him to you. You see him, and then he shines to you after you see him. As much as you see heaven in him, will therefore come from him a reflection of heaven to you. That is yours. Because you gave to him the light that shone back to you. You see the circle. This is a metaphysics of A Course in Miracles. And it sounds like this. As you give, you receive. Turns out, that's the power of prayer. That's the truth, the law of mind. That's the law of God. That's the law of spirit. As you give, you receive. You give patience, you get patience. You give kindness, you get kindness. If you think tolerantly about a situation, you will be behaving like a tolerant person, and you will receive that tolerance. If you trust, you're the first person who gets to be in trust. As you give, you receive. It's the truth. If you're afraid, you will give that too. Yes?
I think, one thing, a couple of thoughts that I have about this, what we're talking about. So I was telling Bridget before that, I mean, and I get the work part now, because doing the course is work, right? Like being diligent and doing the lessons and putting the effort forth. And then it takes a while, and then things kind of shift, right?
Shift, yes. Yeah. That's right.
And so tonight I was talking to my husband, and my teenage daughter got a job at an ice cream shop, and then she tore her ACL doing something else, had to get surgery, and now she can't work for a while. But my husband was telling me that the owner, who he's friends with, worked with her, and he was like, "Yeah, he said she's a great worker, and that he enjoyed working with her." And in my mind, I thought immediately, "Oh, I'm sure he just said that because he's your friend, and he would say that to any one parent, and you know, he didn't really mean it, and she's probably not a good worker." And I was like, "Whoa, that's crazy that that's the thought that came in my head. Mm-hmm. I think that I habitually think these negative thoughts about her. I'm not going to think, I don't want to think that. And I just didn't. And I was so proud of myself. And I felt so much better. And what's interesting is that before the course, I had a constant stream of these negative thoughts, mm-hmm. particularly about her. And I didn't know that they were negative thoughts. I thought they were just the reality of the situation.
Good catch.
I didn't even know.
Didn't even know they were negative.
Nope. Even, I didn't know yeah. I had a choice. I thought it was just what was.
Right.
She just was not good, difficult, blah, yep. blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I was so miserable with that I came here.
Yes.
And now I'm like starting to realize that I have a choice uh-huh. of what I think.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it does, it's really hard at first, and then it starts to get easier, like the first 5 minutes on the bike or exercising are a lot
yes.
harder
yes.
than it is later on.
Yes.
But the other thing I just wanted to say that came up for me with all this is that I had another really, you know, the whole, and you talked about it before, like the secret, the concept of like manifesting what you think
mm-hmm.
and how that's different mm-hmm. from this.
Yes.
So I had this experience once when I went to Hawaii with my family and same daughter, really difficult. And the whole time, like they're all on their devices. And I was just like meditating, imagining her interacting and with my other kids and with our family in a positive way for like 5 hours on the flight to Hawaii while everyone else is on their device. And then we get off and it was like crazy. She's like playing with her siblings, like running around. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it was so crazy. It was just like otherworldly. But it was like 5 hours of like, and I was like, there's no way I can put in this kind of effort to manage my life, like forget about it, you know?
Yes.
And the difference between that and this is like, I just do the lessons and I don't, and then like let it just go. It's less effortful than the Hawaii flight. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes perfect sense. This, because you were trying to will with your ego to change the outside circumstance. It's miserable and always will be. What you're learning now is that your ego can wish and only wish, and you know, no need to take that away from you. But when you will something, it's going to go inward. Now the level of commitment that you were trying to exercise on your kid, you learn the only thing you have control over is your own mind and your happiness. And that perspective turns out is contagious. And it comes back to you. When you smile, they smile. When you're less stressed, everything changes. But you did not control something out there. You control something in here.
Yeah, the book says over and over again, just do it for yourself. Don't try to change other people.
Yes, and the whole world changes. Mm-hmm. The book says your one purpose, your one job now, is to choose the atonement, also another word redefined, it's not the one in the dictionary, for yourself. Mm-hmm. Choose this awakening for yourself.
And that's such a relief and release and a sense of freedom that I don't have to change anybody else.
Really?
That yeah. I can't change anybody
Turns
else.
Turns out you can't.
So there's no point in even trying.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
It feels really good.
It's really good to reconcile all that. And then progress is made. Yes, the rewards are amazing. To control the one thing you can. Control what you actually can control. And watch how that changes everything. Everything's connected. Yeah. Nice. Excellent. Milestones and marking as you go. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Can I tell a short story?
Okay, make it short though, because we're running short on time.
So I went my therapist and said, I'm going to talk about my granddaughter who is 14, and since she's 8, she's been putting me down every time I go there. And my grandmother part usually stops me from any kind of idea of not being with her. But this time she said, when we checked it out with her, since it's not, nothing else is working, go ahead. And the idea we had was, I can walk out as soon as she says anything negative. So I went to her house immediately after. I opened the door.
She runs up, puts her arms around me, says, I love you, and that was the end of her negative remarks.
For the day.
No, for the next 6 years.
Wow. Yeah. Let it be. Let it be.
It was like I was putting the idea of telling me negative thoughts into her head.
So without any input from you,
yeah,
or from you, and your daughter went out and played. And she said, I love you, Grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we sure make our lives hard, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
The court has, of course, has a great section that one day we'll go to where it says, imagine all the times that you have passed up the opportunities to gladden yourself. Mm-hmm. You chose to look at the negative side. How many times you've done that? You didn't have to. Nothing came of it anyway. But you worried yourself right into
a horrible situation.
Yeah. We're here to bust the ego, because that's what the ego does. That's the ego's. The ego thinks it gets so strong doing that. Okay, let's continue.
Your Savior gives you only love, but what you would receive of him is upon you.
And then what that's doing is rehearsing the circle again for you. It's the same as the previous sentence, but it's said in different words that will make way more sense to you one year than another, and have more deeper meaning one year than another, when it calls your brother, this difficult one, is your Savior. Turns out it's the most leverage that could be had on your enlightenment is when somebody difficult and ugly brings beauty to you, brings the power, the love that you've always been seeking, and they reached from the darkness and said, here, you be happy. And they go back into the darkness where they came from. Huh? That's what we're doing here, to discover the heaven that is in everything. If you look for the darkness, you get darkness. If you look for the light, you'll see light is everywhere. It takes will of work to do that. So you're not lying to yourself and just doing some spiritual bypass and some fake happiness thing that you can do too. You know, that's not what Course in Miracles is about. This is actually work where we're working on the foundation of what's real to you. And when we find out the real power that is in you, you can harvest it day after day. Yeah. Okay, that's just what this is unfolding. Your Savior now, this is seeing your brother, the heaven in your brother, which, you know, we're 432 pages in, and that's only two-thirds of the way through the text. We still have, you know, another 900 pages to go to help you actually realize what's really going on. Where is the light? The lightness. Around a heavy object like your problem, brother, where is the light there? Because if that heaviness is real, then love is not everywhere.
So it's a myth.
It is a myth. But sure seems real. And it says how bad it is before love can say how good it is. But that's what the rest of the book is about. We're empowering you to make this choice that all of you have used your minds to choose happiness in one way or the other. It's the same power. What we're learning is how to apply it to what matters the most.
I just have to share this because I brought the wrong notebook in that brain class I'm taking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who said the quote, but we all know knowledge is power, but knowledge is only power when it's in practice.
Yeah, that's funny.
So that's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's true enough. That's true enough. Beautiful. Yeah, that's true. Thank you. Okay, so your Savior gives you only love. Okay, that's black and white printed for you to read, and it's true. Clears his throat. But, record scratch. You know, even in the ego's world, whenever somebody says but, it means you can forget everything I just said, because here's the truth. Here's our really... I buttered you up, but this is what is really up. No different with the Course in Miracles or spirituals too. But what you would receive of your brother is up to you. Mm-hmm. Please continue, Lisa.
It lies in him to overlook all your mistakes, and therein lies his own salvation.
Wow. So it's in him. Wow, it so seems like we have to get lucky and have my dark brother forgive me. It so seems that way. But look at the next sentence. Go ahead.
And so it is with yours. Salvation is a lesson in giving, as the Holy Spirit interprets it.
As the Holy Spirit interprets it.
Yes.
It is reawakening the laws of God in minds that have established other laws and given them power to enforce what God created not.
Okay.
And I just got to tap onto this because you've told us multiple times we have to see the innocence in our brother and sister, and then we see the innocence in ourselves.
Yes.
And then we've also talked about being the reflection in the mirror.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much...
You got it.
Right there.
Exactly what we're talking about. And we'll do it again and again and again.
How many times?
Many, many.
And then how many more?
Until you say, I've had enough of this, I'm just going to go be happy. Yeah, it's so important.
And tell you in many, many, infinitely.
It's so core to the block to the awareness of love's presence. If we see that another being is not lovable, or that another being can't love us, something about me is not lovable to that person. That's a block to the awareness of love's presence.
It kind of makes me trigger on the whole loving kindness meditations.
Yes.
That style of meditation where you focus on sending loving kindness to other people.
Yes.
And there's a whole thing around how to do that.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's like a process. But I find when I go through that, I just really love myself a lot more afterwards. I'm just more accepting. And
you've been given, you've been receiving, you've been given, you receive it, and it feels good.
I just say a parallel with what you were just talking about.
No doubt. No doubt. Okay, now, so there's a huge amount of metaphysics. We only have 17 minutes, but there's a huge amount of metaphysics of A Course in Miracles training and teaching in that paragraph. So, and I know we're going to see the same material again and again, so I'm not going to try to break all that down for you, but I am going to give you this gift. There's a workbook lesson that hits some of this straight on, and let's just have Jesus do the work for us. Turn to workbook page 374. Workbook page 374. Okay, now hold your finger there, because since we're running out of time, I meant to have everybody who was here last week or who wasn't here last week. You really need to see.
Narrows it down.
Yeah. That's it. So that's everybody, huh? Okay, good. So look at the first sentence on the page we were just on. Look at the first sentence on the page we were on, page 432 in the text. Look at the first sentence.
Nothing can hurt you unless...
Say it out loud.
Nothing can hurt you unless you give it the power to do so.
Period. Metaphysics of A Course in Miracles. He kept saying, good news, I found the problem. It's you!
Oh. Or like, pain will happen, but suffering is optional.
Yeah, it's optional. And I can prove it. Okay, let's look at some of that. That's A Course in Miracles up and down in spades. Okay, here we go, 374 in the workbook, back of the book. I will try to be quiet and just let you guys absorb this. And let's go. David, lesson 196 now.
It can't be but myself I crucify.
Ha!
I don't even understand it. I'm sorry.
It can be but myself I crucify is as much to say only I can hurt me.
Okay.
We're only... The only thing I can hurt is myself. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When I put out hurtful thoughts, I'm the one that gets hurt.
I can say that.
When the Course uses the word but, you can splice in the word only, usually. Mm-hmm. You can just cross out but, put in only. Mm-hmm. It's an exclusive, absolute indication. It can be only myself I crucify. As you see it, you get it. There must be an AA phrase for that. It's such, so pithy, that group. You spot it, you got it.
You spot it, you got it.
You spot it, you got it.
If you point one finger back, your three are pointing back at you.
Three times you got it.
Yeah.
For everyone. Yeah. Okay, let's go.
When this is firmly understood and kept in full awareness, you will not attempt to harm yourself, not make your body slave to vengeance. You will not attack yourself, and you'll realize that to attack another is but to attack yourself. You'll be free of the insane belief that to attack a brother saves yourself.
It's kind of what we were just reading, right? We were like, he was like, try to put some positive thoughts about your brother. Positive? It said heaven is in your brother. Where we were earlier. That's really positive. It's big time. That when you're with your right mind, okay? Your wrong mind's your ego. Your right mind is when you listen to your Holy Spirit in your head. And one mind is the total truth. So as you get to your right mind, you will be able to see heaven in what was hell. But that, my friends, is a correction. That is a shift in perception. That would blow away the gravity of the ego. It's what we call a miracle in this class. A shift in perception where the darkness becomes light. Otherwise, the darkness stays dark. What good is that? You take the car to them and it does, they don't fix it. This book is about correction from a bunch of really bad habits. Seeing smallness, darkness, guilt, fear. Those are really bad habits that seem so valuable to the ego mind. We would shift away. So, let's continue.
And you will understand his safety is your own. And his healing, you are healed.
See, this is a huge sentence. And you will understand that his safety, even in his troubled life and world, where nobody should get to do what he did and not go to prison. Oh my God, you see that? And he's still walking around. And yet he's safe. In the ways that count the most, he's just as safe as you. In his safety is your own. You're starting to get a feel of how we have to look past appearances that the body's eyes and the court of the land would be measuring. What we're talking about is what we have in common with that ass holy one, not the differences. Then they're a holy one. It's so important because the ego will only have you look at differences and make judgments to suit. That's ego. And that will keep you in hell. Okay. Please continue. Oh, next person.
Next.
Jeff, you up?
I'm up. Perhaps at first you will not understand how mercy, limitless, and with all things held in its protection, can be found in the idea we practice for today. It may, in fact, appear to be a sign that punishment can never be escaped because the ego, under what it sees as a threat, is quick to cite the truth and save its lies. Yet must it fail to understand the truth it uses thus. But you can learn to see these foolish applications and deny the meaning they appear to have.
Patricia.
Was that just what you were talking about then? Seeing what they're saying is that you're seeing the badness, but what you want to see is the goodness.
Yeah, and that's right, and you'll get the badness. Yeah.
If you're focused on that.
Yeah, it's a very nice twisted ego circle, but we're going to skip it. Patricia.
Thus you also teach your mind that you are not an ego. For the ways in which the ego would distort the truth will not deceive you longer. You will not believe you are a body to be crucified, and you will see within today's idea the light of resurrection looking past all thoughts of crucifixion and of death to thoughts of liberation and of life.
Yep, just going the other way. Very good. Pam?
Today's idea is one step we take in leading us from the bondage to the state of perfect freedom. Let us take the step today that we may quickly go the way salvation shows us, taking every step in its appointed sequence as the mind relinquishes its burdens one by one. It is not time we need for this, it is but willingness. For what we would seem to need 1,000 years can easily be done in just one instant by the grace of God.
Wow. You're one thought away!
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah! That was it! Well, it took me so long.
Dude, this is exactly what just happened with my landlord today. Like, okay. Literally.
Yep.
It's unbelievable because literally, like, everybody that I talked to was like, you need to do this, and the lawyers, mm-hmm. like, I had a lawyer, talked to lawyer, mm-hmm. call and put a restraining order, this, mm-hmm. that, and all I could say, I kept thinking, like, I mean, my place isn't permitted, I don't want to lose my house, mm-hmm. I want to get someone in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The least resistance is what I wanted, I just mm-hmm. wanted to leave me the fuck alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You bet! Seek no further than your own mind.
Yeah.
That's what we learn here. Let's continue.
Thanks for letting me
know. The dreary, hopeless thought that you can make attacks on others and escape yourself has nailed you to the cross.
There it is! Oh, that's what you've been living!
Oh, yeah,
thanks.
God.
They say, get off the cross, we need the wood.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
an old saying. Yeah, it's a good one.
That's nice. Somebody getting themselves a pity party, you walk up and say, get off the cross, we need the wood.
Somebody just told me that God is all about fire, fire, fire. We need the wood for fire.
All right, let's continue.
Perhaps it seems to be salvation. Yet it merely stood for the belief that fear of God is real. And what is... And what is that but hell? Who would believe his father is his deadly enemy, separate from him, and waiting to destroy his life and blot him from the universe without the fear of hell upon his part?
And blot him from the universe. God could do that, right? Yeah, if you were so bad, God... And yet you're allowed to continue... working it out. You were so loved. You were so loved. Yeah. And so is that assholy one that really seems he should be punished. Is so loved. The same way you are. For the reasons that matter most. Okay, let's continue.
Such is the form of madness you believe. If you accept the fearful thought you can attack another and be free yourself.
Ha! Because remember, the law of love, the law of mind, the law of spirit, is as you give, you receive. It can't be but myself I crucify. It's just a rehearsing of that circle of truth. The truth is, it's all connected. You don't escape those attack thoughts. You pay.
Glass houses, throw stones.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Only even worse. Continue.
Until this form is changed, there is no hope. Until you see that this... at least must be entirely impossible. How could there be escape? The fear of God is real to anyone who thinks this thought is true, and he will not perceive its foolishness or even see that it is there, so that it would be impossible to question it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we'll just continue.
To question it at all, its form must first be changed. to question what at all? I'm a little lost.
Okay, so we should back up then. Okay, so
the fear of God?
That previous paragraph is all about the madness that you think that you can attack and escape the attack. You can go out and punish somebody, tell them they're guilty, make them admit they're guilty, and once they admit it, punish them for it enough so that they cry and say, please, please stop punishing me. You say, have you had enough? Yes, I've had enough. I'm sorry. Finally, you said you're sorry. If that's what you think is going to bring you happiness, that justice?
No.
It's usually never enough either.
And it's not enough! if you think that's going to work, okay, until that is changed, there's no hope, period. Did you notice that short sentence? On top of the page, sentence 2? Until this is changed, so that thought pattern, the ego indulges itself in first separation, something's wrong, then guilt is established, mm-hmm. and then there's punishment for the guilt. And it doesn't take the guilt away, by the way, if you've been punished. It's just an attack to try to make things better, but it just goes the opposite way. There's no relief. Until that is changed, there is no hope, period. Of course not. You're living in a nightmare, and the nightmare will continue. You're living in a horror film, and horror films continue to, you know, get more chainsaws and more axes, and that's what they do. Until you see that this, at least, must be entirely impossible that you can escape. It's impossible you can escape. How could there be escape? The fear of God is real to anyone who thinks that this thought is true. The fear of God is real to somebody who thinks that this is true.
So vengeful all the way around.
It's vengeful all the way around.
Everybody's vengeful.
You bet.
You're screwed no matter what.
There's no such thing as forgiveness. And God ain't going to forgive you either. And you will be blotted from the universe. Once God catches, he's busy catching other people, but you're on the list. And when he catches up to you, blot you from the universe. Says the guilty ego. Oh my God. It goes deep. It goes deep. Yeah. Except there'd be no love, see? That's the only problem with that theory. Okay. Right? The fear of God is really one thing that's true. And he'll not perceive its foolishness or even see that it's there so that it would be possible to question it. Because guilt is deep in the way you live in body, space, and time. Guilt is like a law. You do something bad, you make some kind of an unforgivable mistake, goes bad for you forever. Because you did something bad and now it's part of you. Where's the love in that? And yet, we easily condemn ourselves. And it turns out that we condemn ourselves to the extent we're willing to condemn somebody else for being so guilty. Turns out we actually set up the equation of guilt by seeing somebody else guilty. Turns out we set up the potential for guilt by seeing somebody else guilty, even if you yourself are such an angel. Believe me, there's a real cost to this guilt thing.
I wonder how many times in the Bible it says that you should fear God. Like, it's because that's one thing that's always turned me away from the Bible. I'm like, why?
But you know, in the Bible, the word fear means respect. It doesn't mean run from him.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, all his translations and everything, you lose that. Okay, now. But even so, it works if you see it correctly. Okay, now.
No, it's totally something different.
Yeah, it really does. Honestly, it does. Okay, so, okay, now, it's paragraph 7. To question it all, to question this model of attack can be successfully projected out and only harm the one you are attacking. Okay? In other words, you could crucify somebody else. It's form to challenge that, its form must be changed at least as much as will permit fear of retaliation to abate. And responsibility returned to some extent to you. Okay? That's starting to say you need to be responsible, understand you're responsible for how you feel. Another metaphysics of this book. Don't seek for somebody else to be the reason why you're unhappy or that you're happy. It's metaphysics of the book, but it's also your personal freedom. You take responsibility now. You need to seek no further. And if there's a problem, you know where to go.
You know, my neighbor has been a problem for me.
Yes.
And he reported my dogs barking to the dog patrol, mm-hmm. who came to my door. Mm-hmm. And the guy, when I told him the whole story, he said, well, if he's committed a misdemeanor, you need to report it. Mm-hmm. And every time somebody said that to me, I said, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't mm-hmm. feel like if I do that, it's going to end the problem. In fact, it might increase it.
Uh-huh.
And but their logic is, if you report it, you're going to have to stop.
See, there's a logic. There's a logic in the world, yeah. and then there's a logic in your spirit. Your spirit. Your Holy Spirit.
So how do you fix it then?
One of these brings peace. And our job is not to either get him in jail or get the dogs to stop barking or any of these things outside her. Our job is her happiness. Mm-hmm. That's what we're after, is for her to learn to use the world now to follow her own personal happiness. It seems very selfish, right? But we're going to heal the mind from being a victim this way. Really heal it, though. Not just butter it over one more time. That's why this is so rich, what we're reading. You can see how this is very intentionally written. Every single sentence is here to help you heal your mind from an addiction that you can judge something out there and be totally disconnected from it. And just let them suffer. You did something that made them suffer, and you think, oh good, now it's just this great difference. No, they're not alone in their suffering. This is how you make the world. And you live in the world you made. Yeah, we're talking about love. Switching to love. Not of them. You. This is how you learn about the love that surrounds you. You can't see it with your body's eyes. Your body's eyes are meant to see differences. The spirit, on the other hand, which is right there with you. And we're learning how to train ourselves to see with our spirit. Sees the sameness.
What's been working for me in that respect is when someone does something that arouses any kind of a negative feeling in me, mm-hmm. I say to myself, okay, what are their motivations? And I dig as deep as I can, and it always comes out, they're calling for love. And then I go back to myself and do the same thing. Why did it bother me? And it always comes out that I'm calling for love.
There you go.
And then when I realize we're both wanting the same thing, I can say, okay, that's all right now.
Because that's the truth. Now you've seen through it. Very good. That's right-mindedness. Yes.
But I do have to go through that practice.
Yes.
It's not like I don't get irritated sometimes.
That's what we're saying. You need to actually do the work. Until you don't. You need to do it until you don't. But you should do it until you don't.
On that note,
get going doing nothing really fast.
Start doing nothing as soon as possible and get busy with it, because everything you're doing is in your way.
No, wait a minute, I don't know about stop doing nothing or start doing nothing.
You're on.
It's just a little joke. From the do nothing section. Yeah.
Oh, because what I think I want to do,
hurry
is
up,
love.
Do nothing.
Yes, but how can you do love if you're busy judging?
Exactly.
Well, you got to stop judging.
I know, that's
you
what
need to do nothing.
Practices I'm doing is trying to help me do.
You're so busy with all the blocks to love, you need to do nothing. Because you only know how to make it worse.
Well, I know how to make it better, too.
It turns out you're the only one that can make it better. Love starts and ends with you. Good night, Masako.
Good night.
Let's have a circle. So everybody, there's even more now. In that lesson we were just reading, there's even more.
Please.
Take a deep breath. Do you want to be happy? Do you want that? There is no other source than you actually choosing your happiness. There is no neutral. Each thought you commit to is a prayer. It will take you up or it will take you down. I suggest you go up. You all know you can. Thank you, amen. That's the deal. So thanks, everybody.
Toilet.
When you hear stuff on the phone,
I'm like, don't feel bad for me. I don't
Judy. No, it's gone.